We read God's word together and we turn to the New Testament, to Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're beginning to read at verse number 12. The first part of 1 Corinthians 15, Paul writes about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then he goes on in the verses we'll be reading to think about the resurrection of Christians, of those who are trusting in the Lord. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But if he did not raise him, he did not raise him if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own turn. Christ, the first fruits. Then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death, for he has put everything under his feet. Now, when it says that everything has been put under him, it is clear that this does not include God himself, who put everything under Christ. When he has done this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him who put everything under him, so that God may be all in all. One of the best indicators that a person will survive a traumatic experience is the presence of hope. And that is true of all kinds of hard, traumatic experiences. It's interesting that out of the horrors of the concentration camps in the Second World War, studies showed that those who survived, by and large, were those who had hope of some kind. Now, of course, there were all kinds of other factors involved. But the presence or absence of hope was a crucial indicator of whether a person would survive such a horrendous experience. Hope was very much a factor. And that's true of less traumatic experiences that people pass through. If they have hope, they are much more likely to be able to endure hardship, trauma, pass through the hard experiences of life. Hope is crucial. It might not be hope for anything major. It might, someone is passing through illness or some other hard experience, it might be the hope of visiting a favourite place, of seeing someone again. Often we see folk in serious illness, if they've a goal, a hope of attending perhaps a child's wedding, we've seen that. And they're able to endure far beyond what medics expect. They have the hope of that special time, and they're able to hold on and endure in ways they wouldn't otherwise be able to do. They've hope. And that hope gives them strength. And that's true of many hard experiences. And when a person has lost hope, then often it isn't long until they've also lost life. You've heard of those, using the biblical expression, who turn their face to the wall and just give up. And we see that. Hope's gone. And it's not long until life also is gone. And you can see that phenomenon in many areas of life. You see it, people enduring disease, passing through loss, suffering of all kinds. To have hope gives strength. To lose hope can have literally fatal consequences. Of course, some hopes can turn out to be deceptive. Folk who've hoped for something and then when they get it, they find, well, it wasn't what they had hoped it would be at all. Sometimes hopes can turn out to be disappointing. It doesn't deliver what it promised. Maybe there were unrealistic hopes in the first place. Maybe it was little more than a kind of let's pretend. And sometimes people try to get through traumas in that way, just a kind of optimistic pretending. And in the end, it proves to be empty. Most people have had experience of disappointed hopes. I'm sure you have had. We all have had. Hope doesn't always deliver. And don't we long to have secure hope for the future? As we look ahead in life, and perhaps as the years go on, and we realize some of what life can bring, and the uncertainties and the difficulties, we long to have a secure hope for the future. And hope in our society is in very short supply. Many people who can see very little to hope for find it hard to look to the future with any kind of anticipation. What about Christians? As Christians, we are people of hope. We have a hope that cannot and will not disappoint us, that will not prove to be deceptive, that is not empty. It is a secure, certain hope. Very interesting that the word hope, when it's used in the Bible, has a very strong significance. Hope in the Bible is something that is secure and certain. Many of our hopes don't amount to anything. Might as well hope for a sunny day tomorrow. It might be pouring. But the hope a Christian has is a secure and a certain hope. A hope for the future. A hope that is resting in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not because we are optimistic people. It's not because of the kind of personality that we happen to have as Christians. We have all sorts of personalities. Some are optimists, some are pessimists. That's not the point. The point is we have a hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of what he has done for us and what he's going to do for us, that cannot disappoint us. And so we're particularly thinking today in our worship of a new future. Because that is what our hope is all about, a new future. In our series in recent months, we thought about a new start. We thought about a new life. Today we're thinking about a new future. That underlines for us as Christians, we are people of hope. Hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. A new future. And we're thinking of two things in particular. Two aspects of that new future that we have as Christians. We're thinking, first of all, of the present life, the life that you and I are now living here in this world, the present life. You see, being a Christian is not just a matter of a single moment, one point in your experience when you're saved. Now, the Christian life does begin at a particular moment, a particular point, when we pass from spiritual death to spiritual life. And we rightly talk about being saved. Now, some of us can remember that point in our lives, some of us can't. What's crucial is that we are really saved. That point has happened for us. That's the beginning. One particular moment. The moment that Jesus talks about in John 3 about being born again. So to be a Christian is to be born again. That happens in a moment. Once we were dead, now we're alive. We have new life in Christ. But when a baby is born, we know that's only the beginning of a life. Stretching ahead of it, though it doesn't know it, is an entire lifetime. And that's true for the Christian. When we are born again, when we are saved, when we become Christians, that's only the start. Stretching ahead of us is a whole life to be lived. How long it is, we don't know. A few years, many years. But there's a life ahead of us, a whole life to be lived. Being a Christian is not like buying insurance. You do it once and then you can forget about it and you're all right then for the rest of your life until you need the insurance policy. Some people think of being a Christian like that. You did it once and then really you just get on with life because you paid your subscription to heaven and that's all right. You just get on with life. That's not how it is. We're born again. We come to Christ, and there's a whole life stretching in front of us. Now, in many ways, when someone becomes a Christian, that life does seem to go on just as usual. They work, they have family, they have all kinds of responsibilities, and life seems maybe to go on much as it does for people who aren't Christians. What's the difference? Well, actually, in fact, everything has changed because that person is now a Christian. Everything is different. Nothing is the same. It never will be the same again. Because that whole life is a life now to be lived in fellowship with God. What a sinner, a person who isn't a Christian, had before was life without fellowship with God. Now, as Christians, we have fellowship with God, with our Creator. Everything about us, everything we say and do is different now because we have fellowship with God. We have a relationship with Him. And that's the heart of the new life the Christian has. This life that stretches before him is a life he's going to live in fellowship with his God. You see, God doesn't just give us blessings, and he does. He gives us all sorts of blessings. But the wonderful thing about being a Christian is God gives us himself. He actually gives us himself to be our God, to love us and to be with us every day. Great promise that God gives to his people. We have it all the way through the Bible. You have it way back in Leviticus 26, right through to the book of Revelation, and God says, I'll walk among you and be your God, and you'll be my people. That's what it means to be a Christian. It's not a matter simply of believing a list of doctrines and going to church. Those are important, very important, but first of all, It's having God as your God and being one of his people. And that's the life that stretches before a person when they become a Christian. That's the first stage of our new future, a life lived with God as our God, belonging to his family. God is our God. We hear him when we read this book, his word, the Bible. We talk to him when we pray. What would a relationship with a person be like if you never talked to them? It wouldn't be a relationship, would it? We talk to God in prayer. We worship him along with other Christians. So we praise him, we pray, we listen to his word together. Because the new life the Christian has isn't a solitary individual life. It's life in a community, in the family of God, in the church. So that life that's in front of you as a Christian is a life lived with other Christians, with your spiritual family. As you listen to God, as you talk to him, as you serve him, as you do your work, as you raise your family, as you do all the other things that life involves, you do them as someone who belongs to God, who has the Lord as his God. Now, yes, of course, ahead of the Christian are all kinds of trials and problems and struggles. Becoming a Christian, you see, isn't a passport to a nice, easy life. We don't simply sail through life with no anxieties and no sorrows and no troubles. Of course not. And anybody who suggests that's what the Christian life is about is deceiving you. Christian life does bring trials and hard times and difficult experiences. The Lord warned us that's the way it would be. We're not surprised. But we don't face them alone. We don't face them by ourselves with just the strength we've got. And maybe friends and family to help us if you have them. No, rather, we face them with the Lord's help and the Lord's grace. We've the promise of God in Philippians 4. We're told, "My God will supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." A great promise. My God will supply all your need. And so we can face this new future with tremendous hope. The Lord will supply whatever we need. And we can face hard times and difficulties and disappointments and loss with confidence in the Lord. He will never fail us and he'll never forsake us. And with God's help, as we live that life, as we walk out into that future, God will help us to grow more like the Lord Jesus Christ. He will help us to become more godly people. That's wonderful. That's what the Christian life involves. It involves being transformed. Paul describes it in 2 Corinthians 3 as being transformed into Christ's likeness. That's what we look forward to as Christians, becoming more and more like the Lord Jesus. All through life, we will be growing more and more. So the present life that stretches ahead of us as Christians is part of that new future. We are God's people. He is our God. And he's promised everything we need to live for him. So the present life is part of that new future stretching ahead of you, however many years God gives you. But that isn't all. And that isn't even the best. Because we want to think secondly about the life to come. The life to come. Our future as Christians doesn't end at the grave. For people all around us, that is the end of any hope they have. They've nothing to look ahead to beyond death. But the Christian has. And the greatest things that God has promised us lie beyond death. The hope that Christians have stretches beyond the grave, on into eternity, into the life to come. And that's the best part of the new future that Christians have. Eternity is ahead of us. And we read there in 1 Corinthians 15, if only for this life we've hope in Christ, we're to be pitied more than all men. If we have staked everything on Jesus, and the grave really is the end, we are pathetic people. That's what Paul says. We're to be pitied. If there is nothing beyond death, and we've lived our lives thinking that there is. No, the best is yet to come. God has given us wonderful promises about a new future that we look forward to in faith. This is the Christian's hope. This is a hope you can have. Perhaps you're not a Christian today as you sit here. You haven't trusted Christ as Savior. You can have this hope if you trust in Him. What do we have? What do we look forward to as Christians? We look forward, first of all, to heaven. To heaven. Because the Lord upholds His people through the experience of death in whatever way it comes. Illness or accident or old age. God doesn't abandon us in death. He's with us and gives us the help we need to pass through that experience, and then He takes us to the glory of heaven. We thought about this recently. We thought of Paul's words in 2 Corinthians 5. For the Christian to be away from the body is to be at home with the Lord. That's how it is for the Christian. Away from the body, at home with the Lord. The language that Paul uses is warm. Whatever is good and delightful about home, the Christian will have multiplied many times after death, at home with the Lord, the place of God's fatherly love for us. Heaven will not be a strange place when we get there. We will think we're home at last. Those who have died in Christ, who've gone ahead of us, are not in a strange place. They're at home with the Lord. We will be in the place where our souls really belong after death. And there is a tremendous comfort for us when we face the inevitability of death. Because it is inevitable. Oh, people try to go through life putting it to the back of their minds, not thinking about it. But it'll still come. Not thinking about death won't put it off by a second. You won't avoid death by not thinking about it. It'll still come at exactly the time God appoints, and we need to be ready for it. And the Christian is ready, because the Christian knows where he's going, where she's going, beyond the grave. We don't need to be in any doubt. Paul spoke about it in Philippians 1. And he says there in verse 23 that when when he died, he would depart and be with Christ. And that's true for every Christian. To depart is to be with Christ. There'd be no interval, there'd be no gap, there'd be no time when we're unconscious in the grave. To depart is to be with Christ. To be away from the body is to be at home with the Lord. At the very moment of death, the Christian enters the presence of the Lord in heaven. And so the Christian can face death with a peace and with a hope that nobody else really has. That new future that we look forward to, it includes heaven in the life to come for believers, not for everybody. It is not the place for those who aren't trusting in Christ. Don't deceive yourself for a moment and think, well, God's too nice to keep anybody out of heaven. That would be an awful mistake to make. Those who will be in heaven are only those trusting in Christ as their Savior, nobody else, and there's no back door into heaven. We go through the Lord Jesus and trust in him, or we do not enter heaven at all. And I would be no friend to you if I told you anything else today. Without Christ, you will not be in heaven. You will not be with the Lord beyond death. Don't make that mistake. New future in the life to come begins with heaven. But that still isn't all that God has for us. Because we also look forward as Christians to resurrection. To the resurrection that will come when the Lord Jesus returns to this world. At death, you see, we haven't finished with the body. We haven't finished with the body. We'll need it again. That is a symbolism of putting the body in the earth. We'll need it again. We're not finished with it. The Lord saves people. He doesn't just save souls. He does that, but he saves people, people who were made to have bodies. And the Lord saves bodies as well as souls. Very important that we remember that and hold on to that. Our full Christian hope for the future includes our bodies, not just our souls. And so after a period of time in heaven without a body, the time will come that God has decreed. Christ will come back and his people will be raised up from the dead and given new bodies, resurrection bodies. When Christ returns, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, the trumpet will sound. The dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. We'll be raised with new bodies. Our souls that have been in heaven with the Lord will be reunited with bodies, new bodies, transformed bodies, glorious bodies, resurrection bodies. We look forward as Christians to that great day when Christ comes back again. And our salvation will be completed because our bodies will be raised up in glory to share all the wonders that God has prepared for us. Our bodies as well as our souls are saved by the work of the Lord Jesus crucified and risen. Now, there's a great deal we don't understand about the resurrection. All sorts of questions that Christians have. Well, what will the bodies look like? And what age will we look like? What of those who have died as infants? There are many questions to which we don't have answers. And probably We wouldn't understand the answers if God told us. But we don't need to worry. All of those things we can leave to the Lord. God knows what he's going to do. He'll make no mistakes. All we need to know is we'll be raised in new bodies that God will give us. Every Christian, everyone who's trusted in Christ will share in that resurrection. We're told in Philippians chapter 3 that Christ will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body. Christ, now in heaven, has a resurrection body, and Christians will have bodies like his, bodies that will not get sick, bodies that will not know pain or tiredness or any of the things that frustrate us in this life as we get older. To think of a day when we'll have bodies that won't ache, that won't creak, that won't let us down. That's a wonderful prospect for the Christian. Glorious bodies that will never experience death again. Bodies like the body of our Savior. We can look forward to resurrection. So in the life to come, we look forward to heaven. We look forward to resurrection. And we look forward to new creation. New creation. You see, when the Lord comes back again, he's going to transform us, but he's also going to transform the whole creation, the entire universe. He will transform the creation to be a suitable home for his people. Wonder, well, in our resurrection bodies, where will we be? We'll be in a transformed universe. It will become heaven, because heaven is where God lives. God lives with his people, and he will live with us in the new creation for all eternity. But you look around at the world, and you can see it's a damaged world. It's a world that is imperfect, where there are floods, where there are cyclones, where there's death and illness and suffering and all kinds of things that God didn't put in his creation at the beginning. It's an imperfect, damaged world. It's damaged because of the sin of man. That's why the world's in the mess it is. It's because of human sin. And that sin affects even the physical world we're walking on and living on. It's a damaged, imperfect world, a world where there's sickness and suffering and death. God is going to change that. God is going to transform the entire creation when the Lord comes back again. He'll reverse the damage that human sin has done. The creation itself, Paul tells us in Romans 8, will be liberated from its bondage to decay. The Lord will transform not just individual Christians. He'll transform the material world in which we're living. It will be a glorious creation. Death, disease, everything that causes pain and suffering will be gone. There will be no more. It will be glorious creation. It will surpass the Garden of Eden. Eden was perfect, but the new creation will be even more glorious. And there'll be nothing to spoil it. You know, even the best experiences in this world aren't perfect. We get bored or disappointed in all sorts of ways. It's imperfect. But we can hardly imagine a world, a universe, where there is none of that, where it is perfect and it is glorious, even greater than Eden. That's our final hope as Christians. As we think of a new future, yes, there's a new future in this present life, a life lived with the Lord for his glory and fellowship with God, and beyond in the life to come, all the wonders God's prepared for us, heaven, resurrection, a new creation. As Christians, we look forward to these things. We really are people of hope. We've great things to hope for. Peter writes in a second letter, he says, in keeping with God's promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. Are you looking forward to these things today? As you sit here in this church building, are you looking forward to that future in Christ? Are you looking forward to what lies beyond death, to heaven, to resurrection, to the new creation? Are those part of your future today? Do you have that hope? Now, if you're not trusting in Christ, you don't have any of that hope. None of it. Not heaven, not resurrection, not the new creation. But you can have it. You can have it if you come to God and repent of your sins, if you are heartily sorry for your sins, and ask the Lord to forgive you and take you into his family and save you. You can have all of that today if you will trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. A new future. You looking forward today. Are you a person of hope? Hope in Christ, the great Savior. May we have that wonderful hope, not just for this life, but for all eternity.